teaching which we're doing, and that is deliverance by faith. Deliverance by faith. And we have been dealing, haven't we, over the last several weeks with religious spirits, religious areas. And I think we have all been touched in one way or another just how religious we still can be at times. It's all on tape if you wish to hear this. I would recommend that you get into this because I believe that the Lord is putting healing into this teaching. And some of you have come up to me and said how God has just touched you in your seat where you are. And that's wonderful, it really is. What I'd like to deal over the next maybe couple of weeks, I'm going to deal with the areas of fear. Fear. And really we're going to lead into this. We're just closing with areas of religious spirits, because sometimes religious spirits hold because of fear. And so, as I said to you a couple of weeks ago in this teaching, that the Lord showed for us to get touched by God, we've got to get rid of religious spirits, because the Lord has shown me why a lot of healing and deliverance hasn't always happened over the years. And it's not to blame the minister or whatever it is, it's because of religious spirits, it's religious attitudes that stop us from being touched by God. And so this is how I believe the Holy Spirit presented this to me, and that's why we're dealing with this in depth. Some things we've heard before, and there are new things that we're dealing with. I'd like to just look at two scriptures, Isaiah 43 verse 5. Isaiah 43 and verse 5. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. And this is really what the Lord is doing with us. He is gathering us from all walks of life, from the four corners of the earth. He is calling us by his Holy Spirit. And he says here, fear not. Whenever Jesus came on the scene, the first thing he used to say was, peace. Fear not, peace. And if we are going to minister in this end time, we are going to have to come with peace and be fearless, if indeed people are to be touched. I'm always struck by this with the Lord. Many, many times, even when he was resurrected from the dead and appeared for 40 days, he came pronouncing peace. Because the Lord knows what fear can do. And then we look to our next scripture in 1 John 4 verse 18. 1 John 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath punishment or torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, we know without a shadow of a doubt here, we don't have to look up any proof text to know that God wants us made perfect in love. And this is what God is requiring of us. It is a command that we love one another. And he's going to deal with the biggest hindrance to us loving. And do you know what it is? I just read it to you. Fear. Fear will stop you from loving and becoming a perfect man or woman. Why does it do this? Because the nature of fear is to torment, to rob you of your peace, to stop you from hearing from God. It can hinder you in your walk or your ministry or whatever it would be. Fear is probably the strongest demon that works on planet Earth. And many, many people are gripped by fear. Many people die as a result of fear. Many people do things irrationally by fear. A lot of things which we've done, if we were to be honest, it was fear that made us do it. Fear will make you go to the arm of the flesh. Fear will cause you to not love, but to be cliquey, to have certain people that you believe you have something in common with. Fear will rob unity of the assembly. Fear will cause the tongue to say things that it shouldn't say. And so we're going to deal over the next few weeks with this very strong demon that tries to work, and I still feel is oppressing still in this church. But for us to be completely delivered from fear, it's going to take a complete love for the Lord. That's what the Lord has shown me. There is going to be no compromise where our loyalty, our love is first and foremost for Him. God is a jealous God, and He will have no other gods in our lives. And so He's going to remove those fears that stop you from loving Him as you know in your heart you want to. And we can find our fears can work with our job, our family, all sorts of things that fear can oppress and hold. And you know as well as I do that when you have fear or you're oppressed with fear, you know that you're not loving as you should be. And so we take this very, very seriously. And as he says, again, I'll just remind you that there is no fear in love. How can there be any fear in the love of God? How can we fear God who loves us with an everlasting love? And all the scriptures from cover to cover show how that he works to the utmost to bring us through. With all the promises that we have, page after page, in God's Word. That's why it's important to be in the Word of God. Because as you look in the Word of God and read this Word, so it's going to minister to you the love of God. And in return, you're going to love Him. And this is the work that God is doing in this church. Let's make no bones about it. He is going to perfect every one of us in love. And He's going to corner us. He's going to expose things, and he's in order to do that deliverance, because if there's fear, then fear cannot love properly. Fear may feel intimidated by someone or that person. Or fear thinks irrationally and cannot think the best for their brother or sister or whatever it would be. And so all these things we're going to look at over the next few weeks. You know, it's to be with fellowship with Him and Him alone. God will not require anything second. If there's anything that I see now that God is really working and honing in this church, He's dealing with our fellowship with Him. And He's really working overtime in this. And for us to move closer in fellowship, He's going to have to remove some fears. Because God can't accept fear. Why? Because we've just said to you, fear has torments. And he says that there is no fear when we're made perfect in love. So how are we made perfect in love? Well, God told us this morning, by coming in worship and bowing the knee before Him in absolute humility and brokenness. That is the only way we're going to be exalted. You know, deliverance from fear is going to have to be a complete abandonment for the things of this world. That was another thing that God just reminded me in 1 John 2:15, which you know very well. But again, to be really delivered from fear, it's going to have to be a complete abandonment from the world and its ways. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If there is love for the world in any shape or form, it's the love of the Father is not in you. Now, this is where you have to be real. This is where you have to bow the knee. You have to confess and say, Lord, I may have been going all these years, and I've realized the love of the Father, your love is not really in me. That in itself is a deliverance, to actually acknowledge that. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So there he speaks about what the world does to you. The world makes you proud. Oh, look what I've got. Look at me, I'm successful. Look at my education. Look at my job. All those things that the world loves to be proud about. And he says the lust of the eyes. Everything we see, we want. And we disguise it while I'm in prosperity. Who are we kidding? It's just the lust of the eyes coming out of you. And the lust of the flesh. That is pampering the flesh. Excessive behavior with the flesh. And these are the things that affect us if we love the world. Do you know why? Because if you love the world demands that there are things that need to be nurtured and fed. Let's say, for example, if you love your job, then you're going to find that your job is going to demand from you many long hours, and you're out to succeed and become successful. And what is affected first and foremost? Seeking the kingdom of God. You haven't time. You work in all hours. And so there's just one area. And it's often motivated by fear. Well, what will we do if I have just a basic salary? The bills have to be paid. The food has to be met. What's manifesting? Fear. You can't be made perfect in love. And so you have to bow the knee in that area. You have to face it full on. I mean, that's just one area. I use that because the world out there is striving to try and make a living and to pay the bills and so on. God has said, if you put first the kingdom, you meet the conditions, he'll pay all your bills. He doesn't want you to even be concerned or anxious. What is anxiety? It's basically fear. Isn't it? And yet we hear this so many, many times, and yet we still fall short. And as God said this morning, the reason some are not breaking through in this area is pride. You're not willing to bow the knee. You're not willing to admit, I have a big problem. If we cannot admit to God that we have a big problem, we're merely proving we're unteachable. God said this morning that deliverance will come by bowing the knee. Because there are needs, there are problems in this church. And God is saying, enough is enough. It's about time that we broke through on some of the basics that we've had given to us over the years. Certainly with our material needs. And God blessing us and putting a square meal each day on our table. Oh, it may not be steak every day. I mean, that's a question according to your faith. But there's nobody here who can say that they go completely hungry, there's nothing, and you've gone a whole week without not eating a thing. Now, if that is the case, then something's wrong. Something's very wrong. Now, I'm equally aware that the body has its place as well. But this church is no license to bail you out of problems. It's not what God brought you into this church for. Oh yes, we're to see that there are needs. But you don't deliberately look to this church to fulfill your needs purely because you're not willing to bow the knee or there's pride in your life or unbelief or whatever it is. You have a responsibility to get it right. The same as I do. But fear will do this. Fear will cause us to do the most strangest things. Fear will cause us to think very irrationally at times. To blow things out of proportion. Fear does a lot of torment. You know, a lot of people that are held in mental institutes, a lot of people that are psychotic, neurotic, those that are schizophrenics and so forth, you can guarantee that they have very strong fears within them. Phobias, you see. And they're gripped, they're tormented by it, you see. And fear has torment, friends. So deliverance from fear is going to have to be a complete abandonment from everything that you rely on. Everything that you start to plan and scheme and manipulate, God says it must go. The lot. I know God's dealing with that, certainly in my area. And I'll tell you something else. Deliverance from fear is also a prayer life. How is your prayer life? You're finding you haven't got much time. Things of the world are coming in and keeping you away from you. What you know is the most important. You see? There's no worse area than when a saint stops praying for fear to start coming in. That's the biggest, that's the first thing that'll start coming in. And then you can't hear from God properly. And when you do pray, it's like a battle. I'm just not breaking through. See, it's a vicious circle. And so we must cultivate, if we want to go on, to seek God daily in a time of prayer. Because prayer causes your soul and spirit to be available for God to touch you. See, some deliverances may not come through this teaching until some get into prayer, you see. Yet, all those that go back, all those that apostatize, as I've said before and I'll say it again, they've done it on one thing, because of their prayer life. And you've only got to ask them. And they say, well, I'm not praying much now. It's a little wonder that they're oppressed and falling away from the blessings of God, you see. So I do stress this, that your bowing of the knee, your humbling before God is all part of you having a prayer life and seeking God daily as he begins to deal with your life. Well, I'd like to now just hone in and look on some areas with regards to fear. And as I said, that we're going to firstly deal still with a few more religious areas as we move into more of the familiar areas that we know can happen. But fear of the rejection from God. Now, I find that that still at times can be quite gripping. There are many professing Christians, certainly in denominations, who are gripped with fear because they are fearful that God will reject them. And you know, maybe we just still have this problem under pressure. That God is going to abandon me. That he's going to leave me. And all these things that try to loom up in one's mind and try to oppress. Well, if you're to be made perfect in love, you have settled that years ago, that there will be nothing that will separate me from the love of God. Nothing. You've got to know that one experientially, if God is going to touch your life. Because some of the trials we go through can be pretty severe. And sometimes in the area, particularly when God is chastising, it can seem as though God is rejecting us. But he's not. Remember, I gave some years back where at times it appears as though God is our enemy. But he's not. And sometimes he may deal with you in that area because he's got to get that fear out, that fear of being rejected from God. Now, if you're still oppressed with that, I can guarantee that you're still going to have rejection problem with your brothers and sisters at times. Because unless that one is dealt with, how can it be dealt with brothers and sisters? Or whatever it would be. Because first things come first, and the first is with God, isn't it? In relationship. So if there is still at times that oppression that works, where I think, I just feel God's going to reject me, because I've done this, or this is in my life, then you cannot get delivered from rejection. How can you? Because you can't seek first the kingdom of God all the while that that's oppressing you in that way. Can you? Just makes common sense. And this is why we found rejection such a big problem at times in our circles over the years. And you think to yourself, well, will they ever get delivered from rejection? It seems to go on and on and on. And suddenly, as I was preparing this, it was as though the Lord just opened my eyes. He said, they'll never get delivered until they get delivered from the fear of being rejected from me. And I thought, well, how simple. You tend to think you've settled that one years ago, and you know, when you gave your heart to the Lord, but it can still come up under testing. And rejection of God can also be a fear of hell. Because you say, I'm going to go to hell. And that can have torment within one's soul and spirit. And you can't be made perfect in love all the while that that is oppressing you. Again, it comes back to faith and settling it with God. What God says, that nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And he lists those things that could try, but he says, and even then, they won't. There's the fear of the loss of salvation. You see, these things can work together. Rejection from God, fear of going into hell because of rejection, and also a fear of losing your salvation. And that's why you see a lot of evangelicals adopt that theology today, once saved, always saved. And I know why they adopt that, because there's fear behind that. Fear. The fear that you could lose your salvation. Because the scriptures do show us. But you won't lose your salvation unless you have deliberately chosen the path that you have and deliberately chosen to rebel against God. And God, having warned and warned and warned and warned you, I mean, you know as well as I do, some unfortunate who have apostatized, we've seen how God's been trying to deal with them, maybe for years. It's evident, it's noticeable. But are you in fear to the fact of losing your salvation? Again, you need to really come clean before God and to get delivered. Then there's a big one here, and I know this affects certainly in this assembly. There's the fear of being chastised by God. Now, it does say that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And it most certainly is. But the word of God, the Lord, does say at times he will chastise us. He will deal with us as a loving father does. And sometimes we can find that we can be gripped by fear. And it can come out, oh no, I know what the Lord can do to me. You know? And you're paralyzed almost by fear or oppressed by fear. And so that God can't, in his dealing with you, chastising you, reveal his love. You're just seeing it so negatively. Here we go again. Poor me, don't I ever come through this, Lord? You seem to have it in for me. My brothers and sisters seem to be all right, but me, I seem to go through it nearly every month. Why am I the only one? You may be in fear, and that fear is perverting how God's dealing with you. You see? You see, we didn't realize at times how fear can just affect. God wants you to know that whatever he'll do with you, he'll never permit you to be tried and tested above that which you're able to endure. And his hand upon your life, even if he gives you a good spanking on the backside, he does that in perfect love. And you'll be blessed after it, and you know you will. You know, I've always found that when God chastises me, you know, I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm not looking for a blessing through this. But it just seems that in your love and mercy in your nature, you've dealt with me in the way that you have, and here you are showering me now with blessings. You know? I mean, who can understand his ways? I mean, that's the love of God. Do you know often he's doing that to try and root out fear in your life? Fear. There's also the fear of missing the rapture and rewards. I think we've all been tempted with that one, but maybe there's some in here who actually are just gripped and thinking, oh, I'm not going to make it up in the rapture. I just don't come up to the standard, full stop, what the Lord requires and what he wants. Well, the reason you may be oppressed and thinking like that is because the root of this is fear. It's an actual fear of missing the rapture. Now, you've got to deal with that one. Because if you've got a fear of missing the rapture, you're going to miss out on your rewards. And you may be just those that are spoken of in Jude that are just saved as by fire, pulling them out. No, no, you've got to get completely delivered. You've got to know that you know that you know that you are going up in that rapture and that your rewards are there and you're glorifying the Lord in it every day. Oh, I've been tempted sometimes. The devil suggested to me, well, everybody will go up and you'll be left. After all, you're needed. I mean, you know, it's not so good a pastor or five full ministers getting raptured. I mean, the church has still got to go on. You know, and it sounds so convincing at times. Yeah. I know. I've settled that once and for all, that my confession, my desire with all my heart is that I don't see death in this body. But in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Amen. And I believe it's not far away, friends. But for God to do this, he's going to have to deliver you from fear. Some can have a fear of sinning or making a mistake. Now, I had that problem. And I was religious because I had so determined, now I'm saved, the Bible says that no sinners will see God, and so that's what I'm confessing and believing and everything. And then God has a way of just letting the hedge come down. But I knew what he was doing in my life. He was trying to get rid of that fear and that religious attitude. Now, there's no license to go around and sin. That's not what we're saying. But some of us have a fear in case we make a mistake or we sin. And that can come out in a number of ways, friends. We've been addressing over a few weeks and how this can work. The fear of making mistakes. Well, firstly, if you're frightened of making mistakes, you probably need to deal with pride. Pride and fear. After all, nobody makes a mistake in full gospel assembly. After all, what it looked like. And on that side, on one side, it is true. But we have to have a right balanced attitude towards this. And you see, if you are fearful in making a mistake or sinning, that's going to hold you up in your ministry. That's why some are not stepping out like they are, because there's a fear if I do, it'll go wrong. Or what will they think? Fear. There's a fear of stepping out. A fear of just believing God that what he's put on you. And it generally works by fear and by pride. That fear of making a mistake. And God has been dealing with this one. And praise God, we are beginning to see some developments and signs, and the assembly beginning to move out and to witness. Because you've had to bow the knee, you've had to acknowledge that there is fear. Fear, after all, most of them aren't very sympathetic towards the faith teaching and deeper life and so forth. So, you know, I mean, I know I've had to go through this. Fear of what they think. Well, all we should ever be concerned about is what the Lord thinks. But that will hold you up, friends. You've got to bow the knee. Because it's not plain saying. It doesn't go how we think. My ministry, when I stepped out, did not go how I thought it was going to go. I got it all planned out until God came in and fouled the lot up. It's true. It's true, friends. And this is only going to come when you bow the knee in absolute brokenness and humility. And this could just be a fear that's holding, you see. And that fear will make it all look impossible, give it a warped understanding and so forth, you see. Or there can be that fear of rejection, that if I do go out, or I do minister, and as the Lord shows me, and what if they reject me? You're going to be rejected at times. And our Lord was rejected. Paul was rejected. I have been rejected many times in ministry, where none of them want to know. What do you do? Take it personally yourself? No, you count it all joy. You die. You walk the way of the cross. I tell you, friends, for ministry, fivefold ministry, the root of this is the cross. And some of us still reject it when it comes down to the crunch. Either you're willing to die and get delivered from these things, or you're going to continue holding them and become more and more frustrated. Because I'm aware of the frustration that's going on at times in this assembly. And I've been before God about it all. And I say, well, Lord, what is it? Here it is. It's a fear. Fear of mistakes. Fear of stepping out. Fear of getting out of God's will. Well, suppose I'm not in God's will. Well, then believe God will block it. That's what I do often. I've said, Lord, I don't know what your will is, but I'm just trusting you that if this is not right, you'll block it. And God always does, if it's not right. He just has a way of doing it. And I couldn't work it out in a million years. He hasn't asked me to. Yes, we can have a fear of getting out of God's will. Fear of still having a spirit of weakness. Well, I'm weak. There's nothing within me. I'm not very strong. And sometimes we can use that as an excuse. Well, Paul wasn't very strong. He certainly came to the Corinthian church far from boasting. He came in trembling and in fear. But one thing he did come in, preaching, and that is the cross of Christ. And I tell you now, your strength is in the cross. Every time. If you want strength, if you want to be raised up and used in the power of God, it starts at the cross. Death to the self, my friends. And some of us are still just not willing to pay that price when it really hones down at the end of the day. It's true. And you've got to find out why. There's some people who are gripped with the fear of not doing enough for God. I know a lot of people who are like that. Busy working, slaving away, doing good works. Why? Because they're bound by fear and a religious spirit that I'm not doing enough for the Lord. You'll find that if you're bound by that one, you're going to find your health will soon suffer. Believe me, there's only so much you can do and you have to rest. But I know some who are gripped by the fact that there's a fear, I'm just not doing enough for God. And so they find themselves getting in the flesh, busy doing things and whatever, you know? Churches are filled with people like that. We can also have a fear of someone stepping out of order in the church. I've seen a lot of fears manifest in that one. I really have. As though God isn't in control. I've had to overcome that one, friends, because we've had that many times over the years. People stepping out of order, whatever. But some, if you're gripped by fear, you're going to act irrationally. You can't hear from God. And you are going to come over in an unloving way. And you're going to find maybe at times in your ministry, you're leading a meeting, there may be someone zealous or someone who steps out of order. But if you're going to be gripped by fear and a religious mindset in this, you're not going to be able to deal with that one. And I've often found by praying about a situation, God deals with it, you see. How about the fear of someone coming to minister the word who's not the pastor or some outsider? We may just get a visiting preacher. I hope we do. I'm open to it, but I wonder if we're ready. Or is there going to be that fear manifested? Fear of getting deceived? Or fear, is this the right man? I mean, if we stand together in the love of God and we pray about all these things, then surely we should trust the Lord. Should we not? Yet I know some can still be gripped by fear. And you may just miss out on what God can and will do. I listen sometimes to some teachers. Because sometimes I'm given tapes. And people ask me, what do you think of this? Well, if I'm going to be gripped with fear of being deceived, I can't hear that message properly. I'm biased. I'm prejudiced. But he doesn't talk like so-and-so, or doesn't say the right sort of words. God uses all different types of vessels, and the delivery is not always quite the same. You know? It could be fear that's holding you. Then there are those who actually have the fear of deliverance. I touched on that one before. But I know people who are fearful to actually be delivered. And so that's going to hold you, friends. And you won't get touched by the Lord. And Satan just has that field day. I know some Christians who are fearful of Satan. And every time he growls, they go running. Fear.
God wants a boldness against him. Yet I still know in this church some, when Satan raises his head, they go running. And you can see that old fear in the eyes, and the eyes go as big as saucers. You know? It's true. What can he do to you unless you let him? Nothing. He's under your feet. There's also another area of fear where it can work. The fear of laying on of hands. We all use that scripture we know so well, where we shouldn't lay hands suddenly on any man, which is true. I'm not saying it's not, but you might be so gripped that you don't receive your healing. You know? I mean, I've had some healings through some men who had the word of knowledge or gift of healing, and one or two are no longer in the walk. But I was still healed because it was the gift operating. Am I going to renounce that? That was of the devil? You know, some in our circles have done that. It's totally irrational. What causes that? Fear. Fear of being deceived. Oh, I tell you, fear gets you to do the most strangest things. Now, if the Lord shows you that there was an occult oppression transmitted, then that's a different thing. You've got to go before the Lord, and yes, you've got to cut yourself off. But the Holy Spirit will show you if you're open. But I had some people say to me, did Brother So-and-so minister to you? I said, yes, he did. Well, take my advice. Yes. You take yourself through deliverance. I thought, well, you know, and when I went back to my room and sort of thought about that, I thought, well, I was healed. And that was real what I was going through. I mean, why am I renouncing that? After all, we're only dealing with the gift. Because it says in the scriptures, many will prophesy, many will pray in the name of Jesus. But the Lord says, I never knew you. You see? So again, you know, we've got to watch that we don't become fearful and irrational in our thinking in this area. I mean, it'd be terrible if you came against the Holy Spirit. That's almost bordering on blasphemy, isn't it? You know? But there can be at times a fear of the laying on of hands. And you know in your spirit, if God's leading you or God anoints someone and you just get that witness, well, if it's to be ministered to by the laying on of hands, well then get the hands laid on you. That's all I can say. Because it's scriptural to lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. I know that a lot of word of wisdom, word of knowledge doesn't operate through me until I am in contact with someone. That's just how it works with me. So laying on of hands is important for me. For others, you don't need to do it, you see. Some have a fear of prophecy. Every prophecy that comes out, there's that sort of nervousness. You know, well, is this the Lord? And looking around at other faces to see what they're thinking. You know, that doesn't come over in love. That's fear manifesting. I mean, praise God, he's put enough discernment in this church if something's out of line. And I'm not boasting in that, but I know he has. And we do, of course, encourage you to prophesy. But you know, these fears that I've been showing you, again, they work a lot around the religious areas, don't they? These fears are there. They're just stopping you from being blessed, from being touched by God. And God wants to deliver. I mean, he's just clearly shown me in these teachings that he has set deliverance. But friends, you're going to have to mean business with God. You're going to have to say, this is enough in my life. Enough is enough. This has gone on for too long. And some of us, God's getting us to that place of desperation. Because where are you going at the end of the day? You're just finding yourself back at the beginning again? And so these fears, these phobias can work in the most diverse ways. And sometimes it's just renouncing it. It's just breaking that bondage in Jesus' name. And there's your deliverance. Straight off. Straight off. I mean, I'm aware that there are strong powers of fear. As the Lord showed me years ago, that there are many types of fears. But all these fears are still held by one principality that's over the earth. And so that one has to be dealt with first. And sometimes it's a very strong, tormenting fear that you have to get delivered from. And once you get that doorkeeper out, then the oppression, which probably that's all it is, starts to come away. You see? You've got to get the strong man out. You see? I don't know how many times I've ministered deliverance with the area of fear. I've lost count and seen it manifest in all forms and all sorts of ways. Sometimes nothing. Other times, absolutely gripped, tormented, as it's manifesting. And we're not to put you down in this, because I know what fear can be like. I know its tormenting effects. And the Lord many times dealt with the disciples. He was aware of this fear. And he noticed much in his ministry, he's trying to calm them, trying to get them to become rational, to start hearing from God. He had such this calming effect over them. And that's what God wants out of you. He wants you, as you minister, to have this calming effect. Because I'll tell you, sometimes when you minister to people, most of them will have fear. And that fear will start manifesting. So what are you going to do? You're going to become fearful because they've got a fear? No. Your very consecration, the way you come over, your very deliverance will in itself minister that deliverance from fear. It will. But we have dealt in some areas where religious spirits can still work, and they manifest under certain conditions. Some have the fear of going out. The thought of traveling or going abroad to minister is frightening. I had to be delivered from that one. When God showed me I was going to Africa, my mind said, no way. No way. God had to deal with me. You see, the moment I got word of this and God wanted to me to go out, I knew what was manifesting. Fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of change. Fear of roughing it. After all, we've had it quite cushy, haven't we? And the devil suggests all these things. You're going to live in a mud hut. Monsoons. Headhunters. The lot. I mean, he just amplifies. It's ridiculous. I know it sounds irrational, but that's how he can work, because that's what fear does, you see. And that's why, you see, racial tension is often motivated in fear by this mindset of thinking that they are secondary. They're cannibals. They're headhunters. They still just live on rice and nothing else. It's a fear that works, you see. It's this image that's propagated, revealed, you see. Well, to the Western man, we live in houses. We've got our own cars. Our own little fortress. You see, fear. And so some may not be able to go where God wants you to go because you are gripped by fear. The fear of change. Or the fear of leaving your loved ones behind. If God wants you to go somewhere, and I'm going to tell you now, there may just come some times, some of you brothers with the teaching ministry, God may not want your family. He wants you out on the mission field on your own. You're just going to have to be prepared for this. Peter did at times, and there are other times it's a blessing that they are there. But you're just going to have to be open to this. Because that's the way God works. What are we putting first? You see. And so you've got to really get before God in these things. We've got to start really, really bowing the knee. We're going to get these deliverances, these touches. Otherwise, you're just going to go on, and you'll be still in your same state, frustrated. I don't know what the Lord's got for me. I don't know where I'm going. And, you know, you're your own worst enemy, you see. And we are seeing a tremendous move in this direction, and it is very encouraging. He wants what we say to be backed up by experience. And there's nothing like it, friends. Nothing like it. I'll tell you, I didn't know. I could teach, and I could teach quite eloquently on things, but until I actually experienced it, it didn't make sense. No. It's going to be the way of the cross, my friends. In your witness, in your ministry, all you are presenting is the cross. And out of the cross will come the love of Christ to minister healing, deliverance, to raise the dead, salvation. There is no other way. There's no shortcuts, friends. You come presenting the cross, and God will bless your ministry. And I find that that sorts out the men from the boys. That sorts out those who really are in faith and really pressing in for this. Because that is where your deliverance is going to come. If we can really embrace the cross, and as we get the cross in our lives and manifest the cross, that is our deliverance from fear. If you've got the cross fully manifested in your life, you're totally set free from fear. Are you not? Because death could no longer hold our Saviour. Death was finally dealt with in Christ as God raised him from the dead. I mean, if our Lord feared about going to Calvary and to the cross, God could never have raised him, because he would have been held by fear, the big principality that the devil works with. And that's why he wrestled and he prayed like he did in the Garden of Gethsemane, to completely get that fear totally dealt with in case it tries to raise its ugly head, and just get that cross in his life. But how did he get it? Through prayer. And that's the only way you're going to get it, friends, is through prayer. There's no other way. It's going to be prayer that births this through. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, again, we just acknowledge our weakness, our indifference. Father, we just acknowledge the fact that all the word that we have week after week, yet we still don't really know. At the end of the day, we still come back to the beginning, and it's the cross. And we still at times don't settle it in our lives. But Lord, I pray that as you said this morning, there is healing and deliverance in this place. I pray that everyone may be touched by your Holy Spirit. And that it would not just last here in this room, but that we would go away, continue to seek you until we're broken through. So Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to speak to us as plainly as this. And I pray that this will glorify your name throughout eternity. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Us in his word.
finds fulfillment.